Hi, and welcome to COVID Quickly, a Scientific American podcast series.
This is your fast-track update on the COVID pandemic. We bring you up to speed on the science behind the most urgent questions about the virus and the disease. We demystify the research and help you understand what it really means.
I'm Tanya Lewis.
I'm Josh Fishman.
And we're Scientific American's senior health editors. Today, we're going to take a personal look at a moderate case of COVID, if Josh's voice holds up.
And we'll talk about how we decide when pandemics are really over, not just when presidents say they are. Can you hear me okay? Do I sound too rough?
Actually, you sound fairly normal.
Good. That's a change for the better. Yesterday, I sounded like I was at the bottom of a well, but without that cool echoey effect and with a lot more gurgling.
Because?
Because I have COVID. I started showing symptoms about 2 weeks ago, and I still have them.
Oh, man, that sucks. I'm so sorry.
Thanks. I don't want to make this episode all about me, though.
I don't either, but we do talk a lot about scientific studies, and we don't often talk about what it's like to actually have COVID.
I didn't believe I caught it at first. I've spent 2.5 years avoiding it. I'm vaccinated and I'm boosted, and so to see that positive line on a rapid antigen test made me go, wait, what? That can't be right. So I took another test, and there was that line again.
Do you know how you got infected?
I'm pretty sure it was on a business trip to New York City. That meant trains and subways and sitting in a big meeting with about 200 other people, most of whom didn't wear masks. I wore a mask. But I did go to an outside bar with some friends from work, and there was a nice breeze, and, well, you can't drink beer through a mask. So I took mine off.
That's understandable. When did you know there was a problem?
3 days later, I was in my backyard, a nice warm day, and I started to get chills. And I knew I'd been in riskier situations than normal, so I took a test and did the whole double take thing.
Was it scary?
I wasn't scared for me. My lungs are in pretty good shape. I have good medical care and all that good stuff. But I worried about infecting my spouse. We grabbed masks right away, and I moved into a different part of the house. Not everyone has the luxury of that kind of space, though. So I was thinking we were actually lucky. By the next evening, I couldn't get out of bed, and I wasn't feeling quite so lucky.
Oh, geez. What were the worst symptoms?
I don't want to get into really icky details.
Okay, well, give us the non-icky version.
Coughing, pretty much nonstop. And my throat got so painful from it that I couldn't even swallow tea with honey, which is usually soothing. There were 2 days where I just lay in bed and ate a little applesauce and gargled with salt water. And I swallowed a lot of NyQuil.
I'm sorry. Did you try Paxlovid?
I did. I got it right away, and I think it really helped. The cough got better after about 2 days, and I felt more energetic. And 6 days after the symptoms started, I was in my yard again, and I walked my dog, wearing a mask, because I was still positive on the rapid tests. But then I had a relapse.
Really? One of those Paxlovid rebounds that we've heard about?
No, because I never cleared the virus. I have a whole souvenir row of positive test strips lined up on my dresser. And I still had some symptoms like chills and fatigue. The tests are pretty accurate. I looked them up on the Cochrane Reviews, the website of a really good nonprofit that evaluates medical evidence with very strict standards. And only about 11% of people taking antigen tests would get a false positive in my situation.
Huh. So how are things today?
I feel better, really better, and this is day 11. And this has just been a moderate disease. I've had the flu, but no flu has ever hit me this hard. So I'm back to feeling lucky. We're still losing 400 to 500 Americans every day to COVID. But I think I can get back to work, at least from home, and I don't think I've infected anyone around me. And if I stop testing positive, I can get out of the house.
Well, that's really good to hear you're feeling better. Just don't eat any of that NyQuil chicken.
President Biden caused a stir last week when he casually declared on 60 Minutes that the pandemic is over. Is it really over?
Not as far as I can tell, Josh. But it turns out that the point at which a pandemic is really over is hard to define. I wrote about this back in March when I interviewed John M. Barry, author of A Comprehensive History of the 1918 Influenza Pandemic. Barry told me then that the decision about when a pandemic ends is as much a human one as a scientific one.
That's interesting. But there are some scientific criteria, right?
Well, sort of. As Georgetown International Health Law professor Alexandra Phelan pointed out on Twitter, there's no formal law or process for declaring a pandemic over. For influenza pandemics, they're usually considered to be in a post-pandemic phase when flu cases return to seasonal levels. But it's not yet clear what those will be for COVID, or if we've even gotten there yet.
Right. 400 people a day are still dying of COVID in the US, and many more of them are dying around the world. That doesn't seem at all like the end of a pandemic to me.
Nor me. COVID is still spreading widely around the world and is likely to be around for the rest of our lives as an endemic virus. But thanks to vaccines and better treatments like Paxlovid, it's not killing nearly as many people. That said, we could still see a new variant this fall or winter that's better at evading the vaccines or is more severe. That could cause cases and hospitalizations to tick up again.
Which means that now is a good time to get an updated Omicron booster shot if you haven't already.
Exactly.
But getting back to Biden, some people strongly criticize him for saying the pandemic is over. Others say he was just acknowledging that most people are already living their lives with the virus around.
It may be true that many people have moved on. Others are still being cautious or struggling with lingering symptoms that have upended their lives. But whether or not you consider the pandemic over, the more important question is how we're going to deal with COVID going forward, especially for the most vulnerable among us. But there is reason for hope. Fewer people are dying from COVID globally now than at any time since March of 2020. As the WHO Director General said in a recent press briefing, we are not there yet, but the end is in sight. Now you're up to speed. Thanks for joining us. Our show is edited by Jeff Del Vizio and Tulika Bose.
Come back in 2 weeks for the next episode of COVID Quickly, and check out SIAM.com for updated and in-depth COVID news.